It's nice to see you again. I missed you. I was away for 2 weeks, Florida and Pennsylvania. And while I was away, it was presented to me by our province that in July, when we have our main meeting, all the friars must be there in the United States up in Pennsylvania, that pastors must report on the state of their parishes to the whole Franciscan community, with the caveat of presenting the health of the place and future ministry there, and what are the possibilities of that if some parishes that we have are small and probably going to be closed down by the local bishop. And each friar is given 2 minutes to explain the viability of their parish. Imagine giving me 2 minutes to explain the viability of something. One of the things is I have been reflecting upon what one would say, the size of the place, the number of families that are signed up, the status of the school, the programs that we have, the friars that are present here, and so on. In speaking to a group of men who potentially may be interested in the Texas Apostolate, I was thinking about what they should know they're getting into, because many of them have only taught in high school or colleges and have helped out on weekends, but they've never been resident pastors. And so one of the things that would come to me that I would say to them in knowing what you're getting yourself into is that you had better be aware, I don't know if it's present in their classrooms teaching their academic subjects, the tenor of what's going on in the country and in the church, but you should be very aware that there is a pervading in this country, and I hear throughout the world, a sense of anxiety and fear among the populations, no matter what religion, or without religion, no matter what government or institution, just the everyday Joe and Joan, if you will, trying to live life, be responsible, pay their taxes, live from paycheck to paycheck in many cases, raising children in this environment, the intrusion of the internet and social media, the lack of or the condensing of moral and ethical codes that not only civilization is based on, but also church teaching, first and foremost. I mean, civil law is based on canon law, church law. And so easily they can be abandoned. As a matter of fact, because so many people seemingly, so they say, are not practicing the faith or a faith, and for Catholics who do not believe in the real presence, they say, and don't approach the sacraments, there is more of an intrusion of the element of fear and anxiety because there's no foundation hooked to something that is absolute and what we call the truth, which is Jesus Christ, the way, the truth, and the life. So they had better be prepared to walk with people who need reassurance and the preaching of the gospel, and not to water down what the gospel and what church teaching is all about. I would tell them that as priests, they have to have the courage, that means brave love, to speak against the tides of what are going on, which is often compromise. And one has to take a stand because as the gospel says today, when it comes to fear about speaking the truth, and what the church teaches, what Jesus teaches, that many clergy, too many, as well as, let's say, parents in raising teenagers or their children, or in the workplace where the government or the administrators have a certain stand of supposed values, that people are afraid to open up their mouth because, you know, who wants to lose their job? Or who wants to be on the outs with the crowd or the group? It's the old peer pressure that we can feel at any age that we're in. But there is a rising tide of this wokeness, whatever that is, where people become, and here's a word, a phrase, paralyzed with fear. And yet Jesus says that we may walk the talk. We must do this because this has to do with our souls, our soul life and salvation. If I go along with everything that is happening in the country, I am in danger of losing God's grace, of influencing the relationship with Christ in the negative, of compromising my baptismal promises and what the church teaches, my Catholic witness. And so we can easily lay down the gauntlet and not do what we are supposed to do, because a Catholic is supposed to be countercultural. I have to ask myself, am I countercultural? Divorce is not a value for us. Living together without the benefit of marriage is not a value for us. Celebrating this pride business is not a value of the gospel. And you can fill in the blanks in your own families about what might be going on. Oh, I can't say anything to my grown children about not having their children baptized. They might cut me off, and I'm going to lose a relationship with them, and they won't let me see my children. Do you hear yourself? It's called a worst-case scenario. Rather than listen to the fear, we're called to listen to the courage, which is one of the gifts, by the way, of the Holy Spirit, who calls me not so much to be dictatorial or authoritarian when it comes to speaking about our beliefs, but to talk with conviction and love about what this means to me. And this is my tradition and ours as a family. And I would like you to be included in that, because we don't do this on our own. We need structure and discipline. We need the authority of the church that goes back 2,000 years, but not only that, it's based on 4,000 years of the Jewish tradition. We're not meant to do this alone. No man is an island, John Donne says. But especially we're called to the community, but particularly because Christ is the head and we are the members. When I was traveling, I came across a fella I taught once upon a time, who's a physician now. We got to talking about what's going on in the structures, no matter what it is, and how people are so very cautious and very anxious and very fearful about opening up their mouth, and you fill in the blank. Many times, though, to the detriment of one's salvation, is one says yes to what is sinful and fractures the grace that God gives us to be courageous, which again means brave love, to speak my truth in love, as St. Paul would say. I wrote it out. One cold February afternoon, a young doctor still in residency was driving behind a Bronco SUV that suddenly slammed into a pickup truck. Well, the driver of the Bronco was not hurt. The driver of the pickup was trapped in his vehicle. He was unconscious and not breathing and reeking of alcohol. The doctor knew he had to do something to open the man's air passage or he would die. But without knowing the extent of the man's neck injuries, to move him could result in paralyzing him. Aware that he risked a lawsuit that could end his career, the doctor decided to save the drunk driver's life. The man survived and fully recovered. A few days later, the resident told one of the senior professors the story. The professor peered over his glasses and his eyes narrowed. "Well, you did the right thing medically, of course. But James, do you know what you put at risk in doing that?" he said sternly. "What was I supposed to do?" the young doctor asked. "Drive on," the professor replied. "There's an army of lawyers out there who would stand in line to get a case like that. If that driver had turned out to be a quadriplegic, you might never have practiced medicine again. You were a lucky man." The young doctor, now practicing exclusively rehabilitation medicine in New York, reflects, "The day I graduated from medical school, I took an oath to serve the sick and the injured. I remember truly believing I would be able to do just that, but I have found out it isn't so simple. I understand now what a foolish thing I did that day. Despite my oath, the Hippocratic Oath, I know that what I would do on that cold roadside near Gettysburg today, I would drive on." You see what's happening in this country. You see what's happening in institutions and the paralyzing fear. You hear how we live with threats dangling over our head, penetrating our heart. causing us to hyperventilate or not sleep at night. And yet, Catholics who know their history, not only of the scriptures, especially that, but also how the Holy Spirit continues to move through the body of Christ, the Church, not only in the magisterium teaching that's in our catechism, but also any of the apparitions, particularly that have gone on for the past 400 years, the message always is, do not be afraid. Do what you are supposed to do. You cannot be paralyzed by fear. Don't let the warmongers and the bullies shut you down. Do what you can do to simply reach out and help someone. I said to this fella, well, you know, it seems to me you could have at least sat there with him and comforted him, even if he was unconscious. It's a ministry of presence. We had quite a conversation about it. But he's so disappointed in himself because he has this paralyzing fear that any of us had when you mentioned something about a president and what he's doing, or a pope as questionable teaching at times, or what's going on in a particular office or institution that I belong to, like teaching, having to teach critical race theory and this transgender business to children. And yet that's not part of my value, but I have to do it for my job. You see, we have to take a stand. Taking a stand means to be convicted. It's the definition of faith according to St. Thomas Aquinas. I always say to people, before you make a move or say anything, you better be ready to accept the consequences of what you did or said. Otherwise, don't bother, because there's a kind of martyrdom that can go on, a kind of suffering and punishment that can happen. But I have my integrity intact. 2 days ago, I received an email from another young man that I taught who went to one of the most prestigious universities in the United States. It shall remain unnamed. He sent me this as an alumni of fill-in-the-blank university and said, what do you think of this, Father? And it was a cause célèbre. It was a rationale about what the Church teaches about homosexuality and gay people, his anger about what the Church teaches, and that the Church really teaches, and he listed a series of things from the scriptures, and also conversations that he has. Jimmy Martin, God have mercy on Father James Martin. Won't say much more about that, other than he's a Jesuit who is encouraging gay marriage and all of that, with the popes, seemingly encouraging him, as opposed to counseling other priests who may say something against that in the public arena of the parish. And I was surprised at this because it came from the banner of the local parish of that university. So I thought, I wonder if this pastor knows that a member of his staff wrote this. And by the way, using the PDS of that university, he sent it out, hard to believe, to over 1 million people that had gone to this university or were present there. So I looked him up on my search engine, and I called him up, and I left a message because he didn't pick up the phone. Are you aware that this was sent out under your banner, which means it falls to you that you believe this? Is this what you're presenting by way of Catholic teaching to people from all over the world who are going to your university, are in a place of learning and struggling, especially young Catholic students who have all kinds of things coming at them, and they're looking for the truth and guidance and authority? They want to stand on something solid, not this woke feather-in-the-wind stuff. I left him a message, being as pastoral as I could be, simply wanting to hear the rationale. Hours later, he called me with his voice trembling, and he said, thank you very much for your voicemail. It brought me a lot of comfort. You wouldn't believe what I am getting back from the population that got this. Either great encouragement, and you should be doing more, and convincing more priests to speak thus, or people who are excoriating me and telling me I'm going to hell. There's no in-between. He said yours was the first voice that was pastoral, which means care of souls, inviting me to reflect on where am I in this. I didn't write that and didn't know it was going out. And he said, I have a woke community here, the likes of which are so strong that they're like a beast that I'm afraid are going to devour. And he started to cry. A 55-year-old man, been a priest for decades, who was terrified, that paralyzing fear, because he knows that he must stand up and speak the truth, and he knows that he has a great deal at stake. He could lose his position, a very prestigious one. He might not get the support of his bishop. There are his brother priests who also may yell at him, or correct him, or admonish him, or abandon him. Nevertheless, I said, look at the gospel that's coming up for this Sunday, Father, in Matthew's gospel, and see that we are called to be responsible in helping people to work through their fears, reflect with them and give them a support, that a Catholic is countercultural, and we do not bend with the particular tides of what's going on today that is called heresy. Strange times that we are living in. People across the world, my concern especially for younger people who are starting out, people seem to be feeling this unease, this anxiety, this fear. What is going on? Just to look at this pride situation in the month of the Sacred Heart, I have to stop and think what my mother and father would think about this, is this is going on so far from their experience of the depression of the 1930s, living through World War II, the prosperous times and the resettling in the 50s, and the rebellion of the 60s where they scratched their head, and everything else that's going on, how puzzled they were and frightened for their children. Well, there's that word again, frightened. You know, when Pope John Paul II in 1978 was first elected to his pontificate, he stepped out on the Loggia, looking out at the Vatican Square, St. Peter's, filled with thousands of people, and he said, do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. Do not be afraid was said a couple of times in the gospel today, but it was said 365 times in all four gospels. Do not be afraid. I think of St. Therese Teresa of Avila, founder of the Carmelites. It's another situation that we're all scratching our heads about. People are wondering and leaving or threatening to leave. They're either damning or some kind of a reaction that's far from this courage, because we don't know what's going on. I think of St. Francis de Sales, who said, when it comes to scandal, it's always been scandals in any institution, it's true in the church, in his time, those who leave the church because of scandal are committing spiritual suicide. Those who leave the church because, or who cause the people to leave the church because of scandal are committing spiritual murder. She would always say to her sisters, because she was horrified by Martin Luther, terribly scandalized by him, frightened about what he was doing to the church. But she said always, and she taught her sisters to say it, and it's something we have to remember too about do not be afraid. Let nothing offend thee, nothing affright thee. All things are passing. God never changes. Patience gains all things. God alone suffices. Do not be afraid.